So a lot of activity around with animals at the moment, leading into spring or into spring now. I went up to the Rotary Park Kangaroo Flat, Steve, yesterday, and like just so many animals around the place. So we thought it'd be good to catch up with a vet and find out the do's and don'ts of this time of year. And Dr. Chris Allison is with us. Dr. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Can you not get this message through to the animals that, like, they've got the sky, particularly the birds, they've got the whole sky, they've got the lake, but they tend to operate in our sphere and then they get grumpy? What's going on?
I think in reality, we're still operating in their sphere. I think they had this part of the world for quite a long time before we jumped in and took it from them.
Yeah, possibly.
You might get that.
Yeah. All right.
So what's drawn me to you, Chris, is on your wonderful Facebook site, Bendigo Animal Hospital, you had a duck, a little duckling there. And I thought, yeah, that's interesting. What are you supposed to do if you find a handful of ducklings and mum's not around? Is it best to leave them or obviously people bring them to you?
Yeah, absolutely. The standard advice for pretty much any wildlife is leave them well alone. So unless they're in an immediately hazardous situation, for example, you know, being on the road, or we'll often find ducklings stuck down drains as well at this time of year. But if they're in your garden, then make sure there's no sort of threats from your pets, sort of dogs or cats, even sort of wild threats as well. You know, sometimes we'll get hawks and things like that that will come in. But generally speaking, leave them well alone, because interfering will often make things much worse.
Well, we saw you were on that TV program, and you obviously had a great selection of animals come through. But is there something that's sort of out of your realm? Really, obviously, you're a fan of reptiles, as we seem to remember. But, you know, yes. People think cats, dogs. But what can you do with some native wildlife that's been injured? They're pretty volatile, aren't they, potentially?
Yeah, with wildlife, the decision-making process has always got to be, can we get this animal back into the wild in 100% full health? And can we get it back to living a life where it will be able to thrive? And therefore, the decision-making process is very different to, you know, with a dog with a slightly wonky leg can live a perfectly happy life if it sort of has a bit of a limp and we can keep them comfortable. If you send an echidna out with a broken beak, then it might not be able to eat and it could potentially have major issues and starve. So it does become a sort of what's fairest for this animal, but there's certainly a lot that we can do nowadays. There's some real sort of trailblazers in the wildlife sector and veterinary medicine who've really kind of gone out there and, you know, they've done a lot of trial and error to get things right, and it's really quite a specialised subject nowadays.
Now, well, you mentioned reptiles there, or Steve mentioned reptiles. I guess the big one is the old Joe Blakes as well, the old snakes around this time, try and just give them a wide berth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I know that there have been some snake bites already in Bendigo with pets. I haven't seen one. I've actually been up on leave for a couple of weeks, but as soon as that first really warm day comes, which I think we've had already, snakes are on the move. And yeah, 100%. If your pets are sort of getting around a snake, then just leave the area as quickly as possible and try and get them to come with you. We've certainly had a few people who have tried to intervene, and you're not going to do your pet any help if you end up getting bitten as well. So just get out of there.
Doesn't sound good. Now, are we having any particular, is it like kitten season or puppy season at the moment? Are we expecting a big onrush of youngsters coming along?
They're describing it as the puppy pandemic. I think with COVID, there is a massively increased demand for puppies and therefore a massively increased cost with puppies. And we're seeing a lot more people who are breeding, I think, the supply is starting to try and meet the demand. And yeah, we've had probably, I would say, double, two or three times the number of cesareans over the last few months that we have had before. So yeah, it's a tricky time for veterinary medicine, because we're not necessarily able to staff as easily as we maybe used to be in the past. And the demand has gone through the roof. So yeah, it's certainly something that we're kind of recommending people sort of stay responsible and hopefully stay patient as well from our point of view.
There's a lot of regulation around breeding puppies now, though. Has that helped, do you think, in keeping the numbers down a bit?
Yeah, certainly. Some has, some hasn't. I think most of these people who are breeding nowadays are sort of just think, you know, there's no puppy farming or anything like that. We're not involved with anyone who has large numbers of dogs, in fact, as a clinic. But just individuals who have decided, you know, we'll just have one litter, we'll just have two litters. And Yeah, I had a very well-known breeder who said to me once, if you want to make $1 million breeding puppies, start with $2 million, because it can be very stressful, and it doesn't always go as smoothly as you'd hope. It's certainly something that needs to be given good thought.
And I guess finally, Chris, Captain Obvious here, but now as the weather starts to warm up a bit, all the obvious ones, particularly for pets, water, don't leave them in the car, et cetera, et cetera.
100%, yeah. Heat stress is something we see. We probably get 4 or 5 cases a year, and it's more easy for it to happen than you'd think. Some dogs that are more prone to it, we think about the sort of the squashy-faced dogs or the brachycephalic breeds, and your sort of French bulldogs and Boston Terriers, those kind of guys, even on a normal day in shade, they can still get heat stress quite easily because they struggle to lose that heat because of the way their respiratory systems are put together. So shade or air conditioning preferably for those guys, but just for all dogs. Dark dogs as well, Black Labradors, for example, they soak up the heat a bit better. So, yeah, common sense plus a little bit more. Just don't put your dog in a situation where you wouldn't be comfortable.
I've got one of those bracky dogs, a pug, and he's got heat stress. Everything, he eats it. Everything.
Yes. Pugs are sort of eating machines, and not always the smartest dogs.
No, that's a good point.
I hope I'm not being offensive, but beautiful, beautiful dogs. But yeah, I think they very much personify the ignorance is bliss.
Hey, finally, Chris, talking about stress, how's the new little 2-week-old baby going? Plenty of sleep for Daddy?
Yeah, that's the reason my voice is a little bit croaky. We've been up every 2 or 3 hours, and yes, speaking of sort of raising puppies, my goodness, children are even more difficult. So I'm learning as I go.
Well, the good news is it only gets tougher for the next 20 years, mate, so good luck with that.
So people keep telling me. I don't think you're allowed to exchange them at this stage, so I'll just have to cope.
Good on you. Thanks very much for joining us, Chris.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Dr. Chris Allison, vet in Bendigo.